done. Title of the sermon, What a Friend. What a Friend. And Luke 7, verse 34, Jesus is talking again to the Pharisees. He says, the Son of Man has come eating and drinking, and you say, behold, a gluttonous man and a wine bibber and a friend of publicans and sinners. I mean, the old Pharisees, praise God, they accused Jesus Christ of many things. They said he was of the devil, said he had Beelzebub in him, they said he was a lunatic, said he was a Samaritan, said he was a gluttonous man and a drunkard. There's a whole lot of false accusations they gave against Jesus Christ. But here, hey man, they gave a partially true one. When they said, behold, a friend of publicans and sinners, they spoke the truth. They spoke well. Amen. Jesus Christ is the greatest friend of the human race. Amen. He's a friend to all men, no matter their race, no matter if you're a man or if you're a woman, it don't matter your age, what nation you're from, or your life history, it don't matter. He's the greatest friend we could ever have. No matter how dark our past has been, no matter how depraved we've lived in our past, no matter the sins that we've fallen into, praise God, God, through Jesus Christ, has shown Himself to be a friend to the descendants of Adam. He's a friend. He's a friend. When man fell in the garden, praise God, and entered into their sinful state, their rebellious state, Jesus stepped down, amen, to seek out the one that had rebelled, the one that had fallen. He didn't go look to destroy Adam, but He looked, praise God, to offer him hope. Amen. He preached the gospel to Adam. When Jesus Christ left heaven and was born of a virgin in Bethlehem, He came as a friend of man. When He died upon the cross, amen, for us. Amen. He died as a friend of man. When He ascended to heaven and went to the right hand of God Almighty, into the very throne room of God, He went to be a friend of man, to be our advocate, praise God. The Bible says He ever lives to make intercession for us, amen. And today, as He's done for thousands of years, praise God, He comes to sinful man through the Spirit. And He woos them. And He knocks at their heart's door. And He offers them the gift of eternal life. Amen. Because He's a friend of man. He comes. He offers His friendship to everybody. Even when Judas had betrayed Him and came to kiss His cheek. Amen. Praise God. Jesus said, friend, are you going to betray Me with a kiss? He called Him friend. When the world mocks Him and scorns Him and rejects Him, praise God, He still comes to them as a friend. When the church world doesn't love Him, when they're unfaithful to Him and disobedient to Him, He still stands faithful as a friend, amen. The Bible says there's a friend that sticks closer than a brother, and this man is Jesus. And the Bible says to have friends, you must show yourself friendly. And Jesus Christ today has shown Himself to be our friend. Our friend. He's proved it, praise the Lamb of God. And today I want to look at the way He showed Himself to be friendly. If you'll flip over a few chapters to Luke chapter 2. Luke 2 and verse 8. He showed Himself friendly when He became the Savior of the world. Luke 2 and verse 8. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone around about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. Praise God. And then the angels came and they told the shepherds, hey, we got some good tidings of great joy for all people because, praise God, there's a Savior born today in Bethlehem. And if you'll go, you'll find them wrapped in swaddling clothes. Amen. The good news they was preaching, praise God, is that Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world. He's the Savior of all men, praise God. And to know the friendship of Jesus for yourself, you got to come to Him, praise God, and accept Him as your Savior. Amen. You don't look to the virgin birth, amen, to find a Savior. Praise God, you look to an old rugged cross on Mount Calvary's hill. Amen, the place of a skull. And you look upon an old wooden cross and you see the Son of the living God, this one that was born of Mary, that lived 33 years without sin. Look at Him and He's nailed to an old rugged cross and the blood that He shed for the remission of our sins. That's the Savior. He's offered to all people, for God has delivered them up for us all. And then here's the love and the friendship of Jesus Christ. This is where you can see it, amen. He says, greater love has no man than this, than a man laid down his life for his friends. Amen. He showed Himself friendly when He died upon the cross, not for Himself, but for us. And we've got a message, good tidings for all people. Jesus has come. Amen. Jesus has come and He's died in your place and it's offered to everybody. If you accept Him, God accepts you. If you reject Him, God will reject you. It's receiving and giving. God gives, I receive. Amen. To know Jesus Christ as a friend, you must believe upon Him as a Savior and accept His finished work upon the cross. That's where He first shows Himself friendly to everybody, man, woman, and child. Oh, how hard we are when the cross of Jesus Christ don't move you. When you sat so long under the gospel, praise the Lamb of God and it's preached, and you've rejected it over and over again, and you're so hard, it don't move you no more. That's dangerous. But praise God, not only is He our Savior, but He's our Redeemer. They sing in heaven a new song. They said, Thou art worthy to take the book and open the seals, for You were slain, and You redeemed us to God by Your blood. Amen. Jesus is our Savior, but Jesus Christ is also our Redeemer. Amen. He purchased us. He bought us back. We were kidnapped by sin. We were the slaves of the devil. And praise God, by the blood of Jesus Christ, we're bought back. He purchased our pardon. He purchased our soul. The Bible says that we've been bought with a price and we're not our own anymore, praise the Lamb of God. The Bible says Christ is God and we're Christ. And no man can pluck you from His hand. Amen. What's the difference between a Redeemer and a Savior? I use the example, praise God, that the house is on fire and there's a child in the house. And a man runs in and he gets the child out of the house and he brings them to safety. That's the work of a Savior. He saved them from the flames. But because the man's not a Redeemer, he goes home and he leaves the child. But Jesus is also a Redeemer. Not only does He pull the kid from the flames to safety, but He purchases him. He adopts him. He becomes His child, praise the Lamb of God. He redeemed me by His blood that I might be a son of God, that I could be His child. Amen. He redeems you by His blood. You had to be purchased. He died for your sins and by His blood He bought you unto Himself. You're His if you're saved. He redeems you by His blood. You're His child. Amen? That's a Redeemer. How much does He love you? He shed His blood. How much does He want you? He shed His blood. How did He show His friendship to you? He redeemed you by the blood. His own blood. Not only that, but Jesus Christ is a deliverer. Jesus says, whoever commits sin is the slave to sin, but whom the Son sets free is free indeed. God is a deliverer. He's a great deliverer, praise God. And Jesus Christ delivers His people. Not only does He bring you out of the fire and adopt you into His family, but He delivers you from the power of darkness. We were in bondage, praise God, to sin. The devil was our master, praise God. We were wrapped in them old grave clothes of sin. And He delivers us from the power of the devil. He's not our king anymore. The devil's not our master anymore. Jesus Christ, praise the Lamb of God, is our master. And we're free from the bondage of sin. When you think, praise God, about the church, how so many wrestle still with sin and they can't get victory over the sin, I think that they don't realize what took place. They have been delivered from sin. Sin no more has dominion over you, praise God. They told the story of a black woman that worked for a master back in the slavery days. And their master said, "You're not free." Civil War was over. She was free, but the master kept saying, "You're not free. You're not free." Finally, a man came in, praise God, and she said, "Be I free or be I not free?" And he said, "You're free." And she went free. Today, praise God, the devil is telling Christians, "You're not free from me yet. You're still under my control. You're still in my bondage." He's lying. If you're saved, you're delivered. Jesus is a deliverer, praise the Lamb of God. He sets you free from sin. Amen. What did it cost him to do it? It cost his blood, his life. It cost it then. He showed himself friendly when he delivered you from the power of darkness. He had to take our sins upon him and suffer in our place and take that cruel beating. Brought under the bondage of the devil himself and sin, you could say, and dying in our place for us. But not only does he deliver you, but he keeps you. The Bible says we're kept by the power of God through faith in 1 Peter. The power of God is Jesus Christ. And now let's read it, praise God. There's a whole lot in them verses. Turn to 1 Peter with me. Towards the back of your Bible, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. First Peter 1, verse 3. Said, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy has begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that fades not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time." This inheritance that right now is in heaven for us, praise God, it's reserved for them who are kept by the power of God through faith. Amen. You don't keep yourself. So many sinner people, they think, "I can't become a Christian because I can't stay a Christian." They think, "I can't live it. I can't keep myself saved." You're right. You can't keep yourself saved. Jesus has to keep you saved. You're kept by the power of God, it says. Your part is to trust Him. Kept by the power of God through faith. He's the keeper of you. Think about Cain and Abel. Cain killed his brother Abel. And God said, "Cain, where's your brother?" He said, "I don't know. Am I my brother's keeper? Am I supposed to keep him out of trouble? Am I supposed to keep him out of sin? Out of all these things? Am I my brother's keeper?" Cain said, and Cain wasn't. He was a murderer. But praise God, Jesus Christ is your keeper. When He redeems you and brings you into the family of God, amen, delivers you, it's His job to keep you. He's the shepherd of the sheep that guards the sheep. Your job is to trust Him, praise God. He says, "I'm never going to leave you. I'm never going to forsake you. I've got my blood. I purchased you," praise God. He's with us in our dark hours. He's with us in our trials. He's with us when we're on the mountain, in the valley. He's with us, praise the Lamb of God. When we need help, all we got to do is call upon Him, praise God. When Satan tempts us and tries us and puts us through the fiery trials, He's there with us, praise God. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they was in the fiery furnace, praise God. But somebody like the Son of God was in there with them. It was Jesus. He keeps His own. He keeps you. If you'll trust Him, He'll keep you because He's your friend. Amen. He's a friend that sticks closer than a brother. Cain was a brother of Abel, but he killed Abel. Jesus sticks closer. And Jesus is our leader. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." He says, "My sheep hear my voice, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life." We have a leader in Jesus Christ because He loves us. He leads us. When the children of Israel left Egypt and crossed the Red Sea, they entered the wilderness and they had to have somebody to lead them. And God says, "I'll lead you." And it was Jesus in that cloud leading them through the desert. And He does the same for us. We're saved. We're baptized. Then we need somebody to lead us and to guide us. Who will do it? Jesus will lead us and guide us. People say, I don't know which church to go to if I get saved. I've had people tell me that. I don't know which church to go to. There's one here, the one there. I'll teach something a little bit different. Praise God, you don't worry about that. You come to Jesus and you give Him your life and He'll lead you and guide you where He wants you. You follow Jesus Christ. Amen. He says, I am the way. If you reach the kingdom of God, you must follow Jesus Christ. He'll give you guidance. He'll lead you and He'll guide you. So praise God, He's the Savior. He's the Redeemer. He's the Deliverer. He's the Keeper. He's the Leader. He's our Light. He's everything, praise God, to us, because He is the friend that sticks closer than a brother. He's the Good Shepherd. He's the Lily of the Valley. He's the Lover of my soul. He's all these things, praise God. The church should be intertwined with Jesus. He's the center of it all. I mean, the messages, the songs, everything, it should be centered on this man, Jesus. The worship must be centered on Jesus. There's no other way to worship God the Father but through the Son. He's the center. And He's proven, praise God, that He's loved us and that He loves us still. He loves us despite of ourselves. He loves us. But the question is, do we love Him? And are we a friend of Jesus? Look at John. John 15. John chapter 15, verse 14. John 15, let's read verse 13. Greater love has no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Jesus done it. And look at verse 14. You are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. And then Jesus showed His love by giving His life. His friends show their love by obeying Him. That's the mark of a friend of Jesus. It's obedience. If we love Him, we'll obey Him. If we care about Him as we should, as our dearest friend, we keep His commandments. It costed Jesus something, amen, to pay the price of our sins. Amen. Our wounds were inflicted upon Him. He suffered for our sins. He endured the cross and the shame for us. If we love Him, how can we continue in sin? If we're His friend, how can we continue to live in sin? That's the mark, praise God, of a friend to Jesus. Amen. You won't. It's impossible. The mark of a man that does not love Jesus is a man who refuses to obey Jesus Christ. The man that loves Jesus, that truly loves Jesus, he's not sinless, but he doesn't love sin, and he doesn't live in sin. If he sins, it grieves him. If he sins, praise God, it torments him, it grieves him, because he sinned against his friend. And in sorrow for his sin, he confesses the sin, apologizes for his sin, seeks the grace of God to overcome the sin. If I loved Him, and I do, if I've done something wrong to Him, and I realize I've done something wrong to Him, it bothered me, I'd have to go to Him and say, Tim, I've done something wrong to you, and I'm sorry. I'd tell Him what I've done. And say, Tim, I'm sorry I've done this. I won't do it no more. Forgive me. And I'll not do it again because I love you. Amen? And Tim, he'd forgive me. I know he would. And God is the same way. If we love Him, praise God, and we was to sin against Him, and we would have to, amen, if we love Him, go to Him. If He's your friend, amen. If He's your friend. What bothers me so bad is when people come and they say, if I've done anything wrong, forgive me. That's not a confession. That's not a confession. If you've done something wrong, we all do things wrong. And praise God, if we're convicted about it, we know we've done something wrong. We'll come and say, I'm sorry, I've done it, I'm sorry. Confession cleanses the soul. And we need to be that way with God. If we sin against Him, we don't need to cover it up. We need to come to Him and ask Him forgiveness. If we sin against our brother, we should go to our brother and confess it and be cleansed of it. The Bible says if your brother has aught against you, leave your gift on the altar and go and make it right with your brother. Then come to God. If you're not, praise God, if you're not willing to do that, you're going to be in trouble. You're going to be in trouble. But praise God, Jesus is a friend like no other. And we know that. Are we a friend of Jesus today? Can He say, I'm His friend? He was willing to say, Abraham's my friend. Abraham wasn't perfect, but he loved God and he obeyed God and he trusted God. That's why he was a friend. Moses was a friend. God says, I talk to him like I talk to a friend, face to face. He was a friend. Can we be a friend to God? Absolutely. If you want to be. If you want to be. Sometimes we don't want to be. We like other things in our life besides the presence of God and the pleasure of God. I hope this church will be willing to be a friend to God. That we'll love them. Serve them. They'll show up in our worship if we do. Amen. I'm going to close the sermon. It's not that long. I'm going to close it and ask everybody to pray. And pray with me.